I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Dave Hatter. Dave is a solution architect and a partner at Definity Partners. And Dave, there's lots of things going on in the technology world, especially as it relates to mobile devices. I was just listening the other day or reading about how the CEO of Yahoo is now just changing their entire strategy or really focused on mobile.
Yeah, I think most businesses are starting to take, if they haven't already, a serious look at mobile. It's hard to go anywhere and not see some kind of tablet or smartphone in folks' hands. The sale of mobile devices, especially when you include tablets in the mix, have eclipsed PCs at this point. Mobile's everywhere, and then it also gets into the whole wearable technology, which is starting to come on. You've got Internet of Things, you've got cars, and all these different systems that sort of broadly fit into mobile. Businesses are trying to figure out, okay, what is my strategy? As people increasingly move to these devices and away from computers, if you want to reach them with your message, if you want to sell stuff to them, you have to figure out some way to get on that mobile platform. It's a huge issue. People are spending a lot of money, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Every business should be thinking about, how can I figure out what is the right strategy for my business?
Well, how do you go about that? Because do you have to figure out what's going to be the winner? Is it going to be a smartwatch? Is it going to be Google Glasses? Or is it going to be, you know, all of the above?
One of the things that makes it tricky is you do have different vendors with different platforms, and then also the form factor of these devices. What will work well on a tablet or maybe on a traditional PC is not going to work well on a smartwatch or Google Glass, because you have limited space, different interface, the way you work with the device. So really, you don't necessarily have to try to choose the winner. It depends on what you want to accomplish. If you want to build an app, a true app, software you're going to install on an Android device or an iPad or a Windows smart watch or something like that, now you're in the software development business, because you got to build software for that device, and now you're in the who's going to win thing, or you got to try to hit them all or figure out how much of your market is using any one of these devices. What I typically recommend to people is there are going to be some instances where you have to build an app. There's certain functionality inside the device you might want to use, certain advanced complex things. You want to store data, whether there's a connection to the internet or not. Well, you really have to build an app. But in many cases, you can just take an existing website or possibly rework the content of a website or web application and make it work in the browser. All these devices are internet capable. They have a web browser in them, so you can deliver content or applications through the browser, but you really kind of have to figure out, you know, is the browser the right way to go? And in many cases it is. It's certainly a great first step, because people are there. If you want to reach them, you got to get there, but you can take a sort of a baby step with, can I repurpose my website to work well on mobile devices, as opposed to, I'm just going to leap in and build an app when you don't even really know what it would do. My advice is, figure out how can you get whatever you have now mobilized and working well on mobile devices, and then figure out what is the next step to reach your right audience.
How do you as a business owner know what the best strategy is?
Highest level advice would be, step back and look at what are other people in your sector doing. But for smaller businesses where maybe they don't have the in-house expertise or trusted partners that they can work with, you know, my first advice would be, look at what people in your industry are doing, and if you see a trend, then probably there's some merit to that. And then secondarily, I would say, start to follow the trends of people like Apple and Google, the leaders in this mobile space. Look at what they're doing. Google website, you know, use Google Analytics on your website and track, are you getting more traffic from mobile devices?
Dave, if folks listening would like to learn more about you, about Definity Partners, what is your contact information?
You can reach me at 513-441-5817 or dhatter@definitypartners.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Dave Hatter. Dave is the solutions architect and a partner at Definity Partners. And Dave, you've been a guest on ours frequently before, talking about various technology issues. You know, one of the things I keep hearing about is more and more businesses are moving a lot of their information and a lot of their, you know, important business systems to the cloud. Is that a trend that you're going to see continue? And what should people be alert to when they're in the process of considering that?
There's a couple things you got to think about. Like anything, it has its pros and cons. You may have very complex, elaborate systems that are highly integrated with other systems in your organization that will be difficult to move to the cloud. But when people talk about the cloud, most of the time, I think they think of it from a consumer perspective. Like, well, I'm going to back up my Mac to the cloud. Cloud really is a lot of marketing hype. This is not a new concept or technology. It's just a new term for taking systems and outsourcing them to someone else and letting them run them to a large extent. The other thing you got people need to think about is there's really three types of cloud. You got public cloud, which is a lot like this consumer thing. I'm going to take someone and put my stuff out there on their systems and hope that they keep it safe and secure and up and that kind of thing. You've got private cloud, which is I'm going to use cloud-oriented technologies, but inside my own organization, virtualization, things that allow me to reduce the amount of hardware and use similar types of technologies that these providers would provide for me. And in some instances, you'll see a hybrid approach of both. There are certain systems, because of the sensitive nature or because of certain functionality, it just doesn't make sense to put into the public cloud. So you might use some kind of internal cloud technologies that might then interface with stuff that you push to the public cloud. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all. But yeah, this trend is definitely going to continue because it just makes a lot of sense for many, many businesses.
We work with privately held businesses. The one question that I guess that I have that I think is pretty common denominator with many of them is how they can better use their website to serve their customers and their clients.
Yeah, the technology has advanced to the point, and I think also people are savvy enough now that they have learned to have a higher level of expectation and also comfort using these kinds of technologies that you really can provide more value to your customers than just they get your contact number and they know who to call when they need X, Y, or Z. The key thing is to understand how are people using your existing website, as well as who is the audience that you want to reach and what do you want them to be able to do and or what would they want to get from you. There's simple ways you can do that. You can use tools like Google Analytics, which is free. You plug this into your website and it will start to track how did people find your site? What did they do on your site? How much time did they spend? Where are they going? Where did they go inside the site? So instead of you just kind of working off gut intuition or blindly spending money without any real understanding of what is working and what's not working, you can use this tool to get some concrete metrics and then make smart decisions about where do I want to go from here. You know, if you have a site now and no one ever goes to half of it, why would you want to rebuild the site and invest money in rebuilding something no one uses? Then the other piece of that is I would say, you know, how can you take back office functionality that's going to save you money and also provide value to your customers or potential customers and push that out through the web so people can look up the status of an order or order online or whatever it is that your business provides, how can you take services that traditionally would have cost money and push those out through your website?
And if folks would like to find out more about you and Definity Partners, what is your contact information?
It's real simple. www.definity, D-E-F-I-N-I-T-Y, partners.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, recently in the Inquirer, one of our readers asked a question regarding whether or not they should consider using an outsourced CFO. And I think in our practice with clients, we know we've seen a lot of companies do this, and there's a number of providers of outsourced CFO services or part-time CFOs. And I think it can be a very good solution for people in the right situation.
It sure can, especially for a business that's growing, but yet they don't have the need or the resources to pay and compensate a full-time CFO, but they're growing into a business that has the needs for that type of service, especially as it relates to banking, budgeting, really understanding where a company is making money, what needs to be fixed, and how can they fix it. That's where a CFO comes in.
Yeah, I think a true CFO is much more than a controller. It's much more than somebody who just gets the accounting records together and is able to issue financial statements. A CFO is somebody who's providing valuable reports to management to help them make the business more profitable and know where the weak spots are in the business.
And I know we're seeing in our practice clients who just don't want to deal with that type of function. And frankly, they're outsourcing that function out. And I know we have a number of clients just like that. And that trend is growing.
Well, and I think it's because you may not need a full-time CFO. Your business may be large enough to afford that or to need it. But if you can have them even one day a week or 2 days a month or whatever the need may be in your particular situation, it's good to have a higher level person that can become familiar with your company and provide valuable advice and valuable reports.
Cash flow management is another critical area where it's just not intuitive on how to measure that. And so the forecasting, the budgeting, you know, I always say, we write about this a lot in our columns, that when you're out of cash, regardless of how prosperous your business is, your company is done. You have to have cash. And that's another area where CFOs can come in and actually put plans in place and processes in place where they don't have to be there every day, but they can help you as the business owner get a better grasp on your cash. If you're looking to buy or sell a division or even your own company, that's another area where a CFO can help, because a CFO type service can help you determine what you need to grow in terms of value to maximize your company for a future sale. And on the other side, if you're looking to buy a business, they can help you take a look at the nitty-gritties of the acquiree's financial statements so you can see whether it's a good deal or not.
Well, and they can develop forecasts based upon, you know, alternative expansion plans, alternative acquisition plans.
These are the type of services that, in my view, every business needs to be thinking, because you want to keep growing your business to the next level, and you have to have people on your team that can help you implement those kinds of strategies that will allow you to grow to the next level. If you just keep doing what you're doing, you will keep getting what you're getting, as the saying goes. So clearly, this is something that if your business has not thought about, it's something worth considering. For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Well, Tom, we're into 2014, and we like to be very proactive with our clients. One of the things that I like to talk to clients about, as I know you do as well, is things that they should avoid, mistakes that they should avoid, because sometimes when you help someone avoid a mistake, it can also be very powerful and save them a lot of time and money.
The very first thing on the top of my list in terms of avoidance is avoid planning to fail. Because you're planning to fail if you fail to plan. I think the most important thing for any business is to plan their short-term and long-term strategy.
Of course, if you were going to build a house, if you were going to design a room, usually you will have a blueprint, you actually have put something on paper, you have a plan. You just don't chaotically go out and start drilling nails into pieces of wood, right? So you have to take the time to plan what your strategies are going to be.
Not just do a plan, but stick to the plan, revisit the plan. You know, most business owners, I think, have a business plan, but oftentimes it's something they do on an annual or less frequent basis and then stick in a drawer until somebody tells them to do another one.
Well, and it's a living document. You can't just assume when you write it once that it's going to be that way forever. Things happen. Life happens. Businesses and clients come and go. So it's critical to do exactly what you said and pull it out, dust it off, and see what changes and tweaks need to be made.
You know, another mistake I've seen business owners make, particularly smaller businesses, is being too reliant on a small number of customers. Because if that small number of customers dwindles, you know, it may be enough to put you out of business. Now, obviously, you don't want to get rid of a customer because they're too big. You just need to grow your business enough so that their percentage becomes smaller.
One area that's near and dear to our hearts is taxes. Now that the 2013 year is over and we're into 2014, now is the time to think about how to reduce your 2014 tax burdens. To the extent you don't have a tax plan, you need to take the initiative and develop one. Don't wait until the end of the year. Now is the time to really develop strategies to reduce your overall tax burden, which generally is one of your biggest expenses.
Well, and as you contemplate substantial transactions, whether that's purchasing a business, selling off a division, maybe making a large equipment purchase, a large real estate purchase, you should talk to your tax advisor to make sure that it's structured properly. Don't talk to them after you've consummated the transaction. Talk to them beforehand, because there's more things you can do prior to the transaction.
We represent many privately held businesses, and so to the extent that we can help them achieve their future goals, their visions and dreams for their families, that's important, and taxes are one of the biggest expenses. What we're doing now is we're looking at estate planning alternatives for our clients and weaving those into income tax strategies, because if you can actually reduce your estate tax while reducing current income tax, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I think another mistake companies make is giving their clients, their customers, too much credit. A small growing business can sometimes grow its way out of business because they give too much credit and aren't getting enough cash to fund their own expenses.
It's not a bad thing to give clients credit. You just have to make sure that they're credit worthy. So do some checking before you extend the credit, and then have very specific terms and make your customers understand and agree to those terms before you allow them to have credit.
And make wise use of credit yourself.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Dan Finici and Andrew Money. And these gentlemen are the founders of 779. Maybe you can share with listeners how you came up with the name of 779.
It was actually our birthdays. Drew and I were both born in July of 1979. So when we were coming up with names for the company, we thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Let's just go with 779. And it tends to be a conversation starter.
Drew, how long have you had your company?
So 4 years now. And we actually started doing it kind of on the side back as early as about 2005, 2006. It really grew to a point, though, where we were able to go full-time in 2010, and we've just been growing it ever since.
And you have been growing, haven't you? I mean, you guys do amazing work. You were just an award winner for the Addy Award.
Yeah, we just won an Addy Award for a project that we did last year. The Addy, we won a silver Addy at the local level, and then another level at the district level, and actually missed the national Addies, but we even won at the regional level.
That's fabulous.
And maybe you can just tell our listeners what you do at 779.
Well, we do video production. So, and any type of video production. We've done broadcast commercials. We've done product demonstrations.
We can do everything relating to video as well. We can do everything from initial concepting and script writing to the actual video production itself to all the post-production and animation that would be a part of the final video.
Maybe you can share how businesses are using videos.
Yeah, I always like to say that you can have a PDF or like a printed document that you can send. Let's just say you're sending it to a prospect, and you can hope that they'll read through the PDF or that document, or you can send them a video and let them just hit play and watch a 2 to 3 minute video. Most people are probably going to hit play and watch a video rather than trying to read through 10, 20 pages.
The best way I ever heard it described was a video allows people, potential clients, to meet you before they invest the time to actually meet you. So if you're looking at 10 different services or resources that you want to contract business from, if one has a great video that allows the viewer to actually see the people they're going to be dealing with, they're going to be the ones that they call first. It really allows people to get an idea of who they're going to be interacting with.
Well, a lot of people nowadays, that's how they're getting most of their information, isn't it? That, you know, they're viewing something on the internet, they're doing YouTube videos. And so they're very used to looking at videos to get information.
Well, especially now because you can watch them on your iPhone or Android phones, and tablets are everywhere now. So the opportunities to watch video have just grown exponentially in recent years.
And that has to be great for your business. If more and more videos are being watched, then more and more people want to have videos.
Absolutely. I think that was key in helping us to kind of break in when we did. You know, we kind of started our business at the depth of the economic recession. So a lot of companies, I think, were willing to take a chance on maybe somebody that was a little bit lower price. So that was kind of our strategy coming in. And with all the web video capabilities, that's given us more opportunity to do more work.
Even though videos certainly have been around, for businesses that can actually utilize them, it can give them somewhat a distinctive character as well.
And not only to give them character, but to sort of visually express the character of the company.
Mm-hmm. So if folks listening today would like to see your work, they would like to understand more about 779, and can they go to your website and also see a number of different types of videos?
A lot of examples of our work on our website, and that's 779video.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Dan Finici and Drew Money from 779. And a lot of what you do is produce videos for companies who are trying to send a message either on their website or some other fashion. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how a company would use a video to help send its message out.
Well, the nice thing about web video is you can use it in a lot of different ways, especially now that video is enabled on cell phones and other devices. So one thing that's really popular for businesses to do is actually put something on their homepage, a link, so that as soon as someone goes to their website, they can see a video. You can also send them out in emails. If a company does a weekly or a monthly email out to clients or customers, they can send those video links out, and you can refresh them often too, so that you're always putting out a stream of new content.
So in your experience, do you find that people really do watch those videos?
I think if it's something that they're interested in and it's a compelling story done in a very compelling way, people will watch it. There is definitely a sort of a limit. Like, you know, a lot of research shows that around 3 minutes is kind of the limit that people have with watching web videos. But that being said, if the story is very compelling, they'll watch the whole thing.
What other trends are you seeing in terms of videos and how businesses are using them? And what do you think the future holds?
I think it's just going to continue to proliferate. I mean, I think it's going to start going from, I mean, being able to watch video on mobile devices is a relatively recent development, but, you know, I think you're going to start seeing video possibly even starting to replace, like, static ads, like not so much billboards, but maybe signs on the wall. Instead of just, like, a picture with text, it'll be an actual video.
My personal feeling, too, is that one area that's going to start, we're going to start to see a lot of growth in is interactive video. There are some brands that are already experimenting with it. There was an Old Spice commercial that had an entire interactive thing that you could do with the video.
Well, what's that mean? What do you mean by interactive video?
So if you think about a traditional website where you go and you can click on buttons and different things will happen, it might send you to a new page or drop-down menus would happen. This would be the same type of thing, except it would happen within the video window. Say I just go to Macy's and buy a gift for somebody, and there's a video of this. If somebody is watching me buy this gift, they can click on what it is I'm buying, and it brings up a window that shows them this, you know, the price that it is, where they can get it, how many are in stock. Might even send you right to the Macy's website where you can order it right there. So that's one way that you could use interactive technology within a video window.
And along that same lines, I think that you're going to see a lot more targeted video too, video content that's much more specific to your interests and your needs. For example, I'm not somebody who's in the market to buy a brand new pickup truck, so why would I ever need to watch an ad about a pickup truck? And that's just one example. I think it was a lot more targeted, more specific video content.
So when you go out to look for certain types of information on the internet, that information will be captured, and then you'll other types of vendors will be able to send you information that you're interested in.
Correct.
Kroger's, for instance, does with printed information, with coupons, you know, using, sure, Dunhummy information. The same thing's going to happen with videos.
Exactly.
So what kind of fun projects are you guys doing now?
One of our goals for 2014 is to do a really well-done short film. We've got some ideas that we're kicking around, some kind of like sci-fi-ish type
So
type
in other
stories.
Words, stay tuned.
Exactly, yes.
If folks listening would like to learn more about 779, take a look at some of your work, what is your website?
The website is 779video.com.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Chris Bergman. Chris is the founder and CEO of Chore Monster. And Chris, prior to founding Chore Monster back in 2011, you were very involved in a digital agency specializing in web and mobile apps. How did you come then to become an entrepreneur and start Chore Monster?
The digital agency was a company that I founded as well. So Chore Monster is not my first business. I've sort of grown up in an environment where creation is super important to me. I like to make things that maybe can't happen inside a cubicle. And so Chore Monster really was just an extension of that, a solution to my own problem. My wife was pregnant. I was thinking a lot about, you know, what I want dadhood to be like and how do I want positivity and joy to exist in my own home, and that's sort of where it came about from. Chore Monster is a suite of web and mobile apps that allows parents and kids to actually enjoy doing their chores. So kids gain points and then turn them in for real life rewards like an hour of Xbox, television show,
canoe trip. What about husbands? Can that work for husbands too?
Well, they can, but you know, the rewards are a little bit different.
We'll save that for another conversation.
Exactly.
So did you have experience maybe not getting your chores done as well as you should have when you were a child?
Yeah, absolutely. Chores were a big tension point in our home growing up. And, you know, it's funny when people ask me, they're like, are you, you know, the parent that had a problem with kids or were you the kid? I was very much the kid who didn't like to work, needed positive reinforcement and motivation to get things done.
So how's it going? You've been in business, what, 2 years now?
So we actually launched in January of this year. We're about to hit the 2 million chore mark, actually. So 2 million chores
That's
completed.
Wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of clean homes, a lot of happy parents.
That's great. And the feedback you're getting from families.
To a surprising level. You know, when you set out to create a business or create an app, you don't really think about how you genuinely impact homes. And so we receive emails from parents almost on a daily basis about how it's changed their child's behavior, how it's really strengthened the relationship between parent and child, because now you have this piece of technology that sort of acts as a third party to keep both sides accountable. As a parent, it's very easy to say, yeah, I'm going to give you some ice cream. But then, you know, the child now is empowered to say, Mom, you said you're going to get me ice cream, you know, and so the parent can't forget about it, which is nice.
So are you continuing to add different kinds of applications, different kinds of suites to module?
Absolutely. So our big goal for, you know, the next year is to get on as many platforms as possible. We're currently available on web at tormonster.com and on iOS. And actually today, we just launched on Microsoft Windows 8. So we're on Windows 8. So if you have a Surface Pro, something like that, you can actually use Tormonster there as well.
Do you see that there's more innovation now and people are starting to think differently about what it does take to run a business, to own a business, to be a marketable business person in our world today because of innovation?
I think the way that culture is changing, one, so rapidly, and two, just sort of the opportunity that exists that didn't exist even, you know, 5 years ago, right? Like, it's a lot easier to sit down, learn to code, and put something out, and the whole world gets to see it. You know, that wasn't the case not that long ago. And so now there's more opportunity that exists for people who may have had ideas but had a barrier to entry from a financial standpoint or an ability standpoint that can go out now today and connect with people and put something out in the world and say, you know, hey, world, what do you think of this? And get a response and iterate and learn and eventually create something amazing.
And if folks listening would like to learn more about Tormonster, how they can take advantage of the application, what's your website and how can they do that?
Sure, they can go to tormonster.com. And register there. It's free to download, free to use.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Chris Bergman. Chris is the founder and CEO of Tormonster. And let's talk about how you ended up founding Tormonster and what it is all about.
Tormonster's a web and mobile app that allows parents and kids to actually enjoy doing chores. So kids gain points, turn them in for real-life rewards like an hour of Xbox, television show, canoe trip. And then kids also get to collect monsters that they can interact with. So for every chore they complete, they have a chance to win a monster or win a consolation prize like a jar of farts or dirty underwear, stinky socks, something like that.
Yeah. So do the children and the parents together and collectively put the point system and the rewards there, or is it all built into the program?
It's sort of a little bit of both. There's definitely some collaboration that happens between parent and child up front. Once the system's sort of up and running and you as a family have collectively decided, hey, these are the chores that we're going to do, these are the rewards that we're going to get, you're kind of off to the races and it works pretty much on its own.
So it seems like it's really a wonderful way to make some of the chores and the tasks that really are critical, I think, for young children to learn that they have a responsibility, they're part of the family, and yet make it fun so that they can see how there's a relationship between work and reward.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's also a lot of other things that happen inside that application that maybe don't show up right away, right? Like one of the things that we found is it strengthens the bond between parent and child. And so an open dialogue starts to happen around what each person's responsibility in the home can be. That dialogue alone creates a really interesting relationship between mom and son.
Chris, most tech startups until recently were not founded here in Cincinnati, but that seems to be changing. You certainly thought Cincinnati was a good place to start your company. What are your thoughts related to Cincinnati and entrepreneurship?
Well, you know, I always say that it just as it takes a village to raise a child, I think it takes a city to raise a startup. Cincinnati's been amazing to us. You know, we've had great opportunities, first starting with winning Cincinnati Innovates and then being a part of the Brandery. And now you see things like Centrifuge and, of course, Cincy Tech, right? We've had the opportunity to get value from all of those organizations alone. And startups maybe in the past haven't had these chances or these opportunities. And now today, Cincinnati's really becoming a place where you have a chance to make something great. And there's going to be the support of the city behind you.
Why do you think that is, Chris? Why do you think all of a sudden there's so much focus on entrepreneurs?
I think part of it is sort of economic history. In the 80s and 90s, you know, there were large research and development divisions in huge corporations. And then as they realized they had to show a better bottom line, they had to cut a lot of the R&D. And so that R&D doesn't exist in big corporations today. So somebody has to go out and take that risk. Somebody has to find a way to innovate. And I think that's where the whole kind of startup economy has come about, is because now these corporations can not take the risk on up front, but but then by the companies as they see that the innovation is happening.
You know, if you think about it, this country was founded on that, right? We were founded on the ideas and visions and inspirations of and people willing to take chances. And then it just seems like as a society, we got in a funk. People went to college, thought they had to go get a job, right, instead of having their own business. And it does seem like that pendulum swinging back more towards folks who want to have their own businesses.
You know, I really do think that there's just more opportunity for that to happen. Resources are easier to access today than they were even 5 years ago.
Sure, with all the online opportunities, people, it doesn't take huge budgets to start a company anymore.
Right.
And if folks listening would like to learn more about Chore Monster,
just go to choremonster.com. Sign up.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Derek Joseph. Derek is the president and founder of Critical Solutions Alternative. Maybe you can share what Critical Alternative Solutions is about.
I started Critical Solutions for a multitude of reasons. One, there was such a huge disconnect with current businesses hiring private investigation company. The customer service aspect was horrible. And there were a lot of mom and pop firms who would just offer basically one segment of private investigation. And customers were having such an issue finding specific people in their specific skill sets, such as cell phone forensics, computer forensics, private investigation, document evaluation, ink analysis. I mean, the list goes on, accident reconstruction. And I had spoken to numerous attorneys at the time, and they said they are very frustrated. There's not one-stop shop where you can get everything done. And that's what I've put together.
Well, what are some of the types of cases that a company like yours would work on?
There are numerous types of cases. One, let's focus on my different client segment. One would be domestic. And your typical domestic case would probably be divorce. And if you have a prenup and you want to find out if your husband or wife is cheating on you, you obviously hire us to investigate them. In addition to that, nowadays, there is typically one breadwinner of the family. And when you have that person who's making a lot of money, the other spouse is kind of kept in the dark on where those finances go. So you hire us to find the assets. And that's where my people come in who have had decades of experience. They are not just your typical policeman who worked for a couple years. These guys are federal agents, probably 2 decades minimum, all my guys have in the experience area. They can really follow that trail. In addition to that, you have your corporate clients who might need you for a multitude of reasons, as well as the attorneys.
And you mentioned corporate clients. You can actually be proactive in helping corporate clients, especially as it comes to hiring their employees.
Okay, currently with the unemployment level, everyone is trying to fight for a job. And these HR departments are getting just pummeled with emails of resumes. And one of the biggest problems is the studies are showing 53% of people lie on their resume. I mean, you guys have your own company. And when's the last time you checked out a reference that was not glowing? Fortunately, you need people like us to come in and say, hey, you know, let us really check that person out. And in addition to really looking at background check, people are, for some reason, they love to post things on the internet, and social media is one of the best ways to really understand somebody. And that's when you can hire my firm to come in, take a look at what these people are posting, because they might come in and give you every answer you want. You think they're going to fit your corporate environment, but then again, on Facebook, it's the complete opposite.
It's fascinating to me what people put out there on Facebook, knowing that prospective employers or their current employers can access that information so easily.
And I'm shocked that people actually write what they write. And it's as though there is no filter when that when they want to just post stuff to the world. I mean, this is stuff you wouldn't say to your face, Tom's face, but you have no problem going on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever and typing away.
And telling millions of people.
Exactly. And it's once it's out there, it's out there. You hit the delete button, we're still going to find it.
And that's the key. Hiring organizations such as yours to go out and do some of that research could really help companies in the long run. And it's just one of those proactive measures, I think, that businesses need to think about as they go and hiring individuals, that in terms of really looking closely at their background. If folks would like to learn more about Critical Solutions Alternative, what is your contact information?
My cell phone's 513-981-8600. My email address is djoseph@criticalsolutions, that's plural, co.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Derek Joseph. Derek is the president and founder of Critical Solutions Alternative, LLC. And we sometimes get called in to do some forensic work when CFO or a controller or someone in a responsible position for a company commits fraud. Unfortunately, it's very difficult, you know, one, to find out exactly how much they took, and second, to recover, because usually they're not investing that money in blue chip stocks. On the front side, if you can avoid hiring those people, you can save yourselves a lot of money if you're a company. And your company does help people sort of vet people in responsible positions, doesn't it?
What we do is we can sit in during the entire interview. And we're not talking about the 25 resumes you're thumbing through initially. I'm talking about when you have it down to maybe about four or five candidates. And you don't have to tell them who we are. We could just be an extension of your company. And we can sit in and just listen and gauge the person's nonverbal communications. And we can flat out tell you if they're lying, if they're not. And that just comes from the years of some of the guys that work with me and their ability to read human behavior.
Well, and that's what I think is fascinating about your company, Derek, is because you are a private investigation organization. You go in and you help businesses and individuals find information out that otherwise wouldn't be intuitive to them. And to your point just a moment ago, when you do have that expertise, you have people sitting there looking at body language, looking at their face, their voice tone. You can sometimes identify issues even before they occur because your folks at Critical Solutions does have that level of experience.
Yes, yes, they can. And those people, you know, they've spent decades doing that. And that's their forte is interviewing people. And like I said before, that nonverbal body language. But in addition, you can take the proactive steps of having us there. But a lot of business owners screw up when they have that gut feeling that something's off and they just let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, your inventory's off, your monies are off, whatever it is. It's worth the money to spend to have a company come in and just look at people. I have a gentleman who was a former agent and he retired from the FBI, but he also was hired on as a contractor. He vetted judges. He vetted other agents coming in. So these guys know what to look for. So if they come in and you've got a guy that has two or three Mercedes that he shouldn't have on a $100,000 salary, well, you might have a problem. You might want to check in to see what he's doing.
It sounds so intuitive. It sounds so common sense, but a lot of times people don't even pay attention to that.
They don't want to deal with it, Crystal.
What other kinds of services can you provide your customers?
We also focus on trial consulting. These men can sit in a courtroom and help with the jury selection process. We help develop the strategy during the trial because the lawyers are there to present the facts. We're there to prep the witnesses. We're there to assist with the jury selection because, once again, the nonverbals are so key, and also investigating the social media.
You know, you can't pick up the newspaper without seeing somebody has committed a fraud, somebody has done some kind of improper act. Again, there should be proactive ways, proactive signs. And I guess you go in and you help companies on the front end and just looking at their overall organizations?
Oh, yes, we do. And that's the proactive aspect of it. We can go in. I think I said before, when someone's feeling a little, something's off, mm-hmm. We can go in and look at.
What is your contact information?
It's 513-981-8600. Email is djoseph@criticalsolutionsco.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.